This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. Former Ambassador Joseph Wilson has stumbled on new ammo to hit the administration's credibility. Wilson tells us he plans to circulate the text of a briefing by analyst Sam Gardner that suggests the White House and Pentagon made up or distorted over 50 war stories. Gardner, who has taught at the National War College, writes that defense officials said the first Iraqi unit Marines encountered, the 51st Mechanized Infantry Division, had surrendered 4 days before it actually did. And he says Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and Joint Chiefs Chairman General Richard Myers gave bad or deliberately incomplete info on several topics. Never before have so many stories been created to sell a war, he insists, and they probably didn't need it. Two leading Shiite factions clashed overnight in the Iraqi city of Qabala. Ironically, on the same day that George W. Bush said he is in charge of operations in the destabilized nation, where many incidents followed spiraling violence around the country. Washington seeks to secure support to rebuild Iraq through a third revised draft UN resolution. But the world's Islamic nations meeting in Malaysia will call on the Security Council to set a clear timetable for a U.S. troop withdrawal from Iraq. Two car bombs since Thursday claimed the lives of 16 Iraqis, mostly security personnel, and three more U.S. soldiers were killed in a span of 24 hours. Bush insisted he was in charge in Iraq and denied that the occupation, tying down some 130,000 U.S. soldiers, had overstretched the American military. Boston's Logan Airport will become the first in the country to participate in a test program to electronically screen cargo before it is loaded on commercial flights. In the 30-day program to begin Tuesday, a screening machine will scan truckloads of cargo at the airport for explosives. The Transportation Security Administration has focused on passenger and baggage screening, but only a small percentage of cargo is checked before being shipped in cargo or passenger planes. The two latest suicide bombings in Baghdad and nearly every other attack on American soldiers in Iraq were carried out with explosives taken from Saddam Hussein's former weapons dumps, which are much larger than previously estimated and remain, for the most part, unguarded by American troops. The U.S. military now says that Iraq's army had nearly 1 million tons of weapons and ammunition, considerably higher than the 650,000 tons that senior American commander General John P. Abizayad estimated only 2 weeks ago.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 Save the Music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
A plane on an unscheduled joyride was apparently shot down when it flew over a Serbian wedding party where guests were firing guns into the air. Two men were injured when their aircraft crashed near Kraljevo in central Serbia. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Even in the rarefied world of outsized CEO greed, Richard Scrushy stands out. Until he was charged with cooking the company books in a massive fraud to deceive both investors and taxpayers in order to enrich himself, Scrushy was the high-flying honcho of Health South, the nation's largest chain of rehab hospitals. King Richard lived large. 4 mansions, several airplanes, more than 40 cars, including a $239,000 Lamborghini, a 92-foot yacht, and ever so much more. With his ill-gotten gain, he even became a, quote, philanthropist. Then came his comeuppance. Not only does he stand charged, but 14 of his top executives have already pled guilty to fraud. The company stock took a nosedive, and Richard himself got the boot as CEO. Some might take this as a lesson in humility, but Richard doesn't know humility from humidity. He continues to wallow in the high life afforded by the millions he took from us taxpayers and HealthSouth investors. Only recently, he paid $3 million to buy a yachting marina. He bought a new jet airplane, and he also sponsored a powerboat race, joining the racers himself as skipper of his $450,000 skater boat dubbed Monopoly. Scrushy, of course, accepts no personal responsibility for his legal problems, claiming that his underlings conducted all of the thievery themselves without mentioning any of it to him. One of his top subordinates, however, testified under oath that virtually every month Richard personally directed him to inflate the numbers so the fraud could continue. Now, this bloated ego is even telling congressional investigators that he won't be available to appear before them, saying that they should watch his TV interviews if they want answers to their questions. This is Jim Hightower saying, Scrushy is the poster boy of arrogant CEOs who think they're the top dogs, and the rest of us are just a bunch of fire hydrants.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces. Phone number is 800 Talk Yes, and the email address during the program is Mike D. Malloy at earthlink.net. We have some sound coming up very shortly from Simple Scotty's McClellan, the White House press flack. And a little bit later in the program, some comments from the other half of Bush's brain, Karl Rove being one half, Condoleezza Valdez being the other half. But there is there's something, I don't know if you're aware of this. You probably are because you're a very astute audience. But there has been an effort, a big effort, in the past, 10 days, to annihilate the truth of Bush's war in Iraq. To annihilate all the lies as to why we attacked. To kill the lies as to how bad the situation really is, to destroy and hide the lies about our dead and wounded, and to totally obfuscate and render invisible the lies about the cost of Bush's little adventure in terms of dollars, on and on. And I'm here to report to you tonight that, sadly, this big effort to kill the truth and to kill the discussion is working. It's working. What we are seeing is, once again, Karl Rove and his collection of vampires and ghouls that operate in the Congress, the administration, and the media, they are successfully refocusing the debate. They are ending the truthful part of the debate and refocusing the debate to the lies. Only they present the lies as truth. It no longer is about the lies and the corruption and the death and the destruction. Now it's about how the media is not reporting the wonderful news erupting all over Iraq. Have you noticed that? Now it's about the terrible politicizing of this issue by the Democratic presidential contenders, right? It's their fault. They're unpatriotic. It's about how important it is not to abandon our dear leader, George Bush. That's how the argument, the focus, the discussion is being refocused. Also, it's about the Senate's vote coming up this Friday on Bush's demand for $87 billion more U.S. tax dollars that we simply can't afford. That's why this two-week-long blitz has occurred. So the shills, people like Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, who if ever there was a useless collection of DNA, it would be Mitch McConnell. The shills like Mitch McConnell have replaced administration spokesmen and spokeswomen. As dishonest as they are, Karl Rove has decided to pull them back. Did you notice their absence on the weekend talk shows this past weekend and the weekend before that? Not one of them to be found. And the airwaves now are cluttered with thugs and liars, punks and degenerates as they spread the good news. Hey, it's good news! All is going great in Iraq! And only Democrats and liberals will say otherwise. Oh, and those 9 Democratic presidential hopefuls. Everybody else is on the same page, except the Democratic presidential hopefuls, the media, and Democrats and liberals. These Republicans are so vile, they even concoct phony letters from real soldiers to assist them in their lies and deceptions of the American public. The perpetrator of that now has stepped forward. He's a lieutenant colonel. Lieutenant Colonel Dominic Caracciolo, he is the commander of the 2nd Battalion of the 503rd Infantry Regiment. And it was his idea, he tells ABC News.
Hey, I did it, by God. And every single soldier who saw in that letter read it and was in agreement.
So here is a lieutenant colonel who assists his soldiers in lying. Soldiers who will be killed or commit suicide on his watch. Here's a lieutenant colonel who is not lying to the enemy. That's fine. That's wartime propaganda. But he's having his soldiers lie to mom and dad. Lie to the people who read the editorial pages of newspapers, the letters to the editor. This useless thug is telling his soldiers who are in a combat zone being picked off at the rate of one or two a day,
hey, boys, get over here. Sign the letter. I'll write it. You sign it. You're too stupid. I'll tell you what to sign, when to sign it. You sign this, you do it now, mail it to that newspaper back home. Here's the address.
This is disgusting. If the soldiers whose names were used happen to commit suicide or are killed in an attack by Iraqi nationalists, apparently this lieutenant colonel or the Bush thugs who engineered this back in the White House couldn't care less. Because I think most of us know, and a lot of families of these soldiers are starting to figure out that our soldiers are in that country only to secure the oil fields, only to assist in the installation of a puppet government controlled by Bush's corporate associates. That's all. Freedom, justice, and the American way, give me a break. Now, if our soldiers are being killed at the rate of 6 to 10 a week, that's acceptable. Apparently to America, because there's not 10 million of us in the streets saying, bring them home, no more slaughter. It's certainly acceptable to the Bush crime family, because the Bush crime family knows there are thousands more soldiers to take their places, right? And the result of all this, well, truth seeker, the result is Bush's poll numbers are starting to edge back up, which was the ultimate goal to begin with. Bush über alles. He's back up to 56% approval from being in the mid-40s when this campaign of deception and lies started again. How much more is the American public going to accept? Now, simple Scotty McClellan at the briefing today on how Bush is blaming the media filter for the horrible situation in Iraq. If it's not Clinton's fault, you see, it's the media's fault. So this reporter says, Scott, the president It seems by referring to the National Press Corps as the filter and talking about a need to talk over our heads, he seems to be borrowing a page from his father during his reelection campaign. Pappy Bush asserted that you should blame the media. If George W. believes there's so much progress on the ground in Iraq and things are going so well, then why does he feel the need to hopscotch over the National Press Corps and speak to local and regional outlets who don't cover these issues every day?
Those weren't his words. The president believes it's important for the American people to hear the full story about the progress we're making in Iraq. We are making a tremendous amount of progress to move toward a free, sovereign, democratic Iraq. And there is a lot of important progress being made on the ground. I mean, there's schools are now open, hospitals are functioning, children are being immunized against preventable diseases, electricity generation is above pre-war levels, oil production is up to around 2 million barrels a day. So there's a lot of important progress being made, and it's important for the American people to hear that story.
The lies are unbelievable, unbelievable. Here's a little, we got time for this, a fun little back and forth on this filter issue. Reporter begins. Now, they talk over each other, Simple Scotty and the reporter, so you have to listen close. Reporter begins. Scott, back to the issue of cleaning out the filters on Iraq here. The president said in one particular interview that the American people are not hearing the truth about what's going on in Iraq. His words. What does he, Mr. Bush, believe he has seen in the coverage that does not reflect the truth?
You're saying exactly what I said earlier, that the American people are not getting the full story about the progress that we are making in Iraq.
He said the truth. And you know how he likes to cast things in terms of, in very stark terms, in black and white, the opposite of truth.
Yeah, he talked about the filter, as David pointed out earlier, and he said he's mindful of that, and it's important to take his message directly to the American people, and that's what he will continue to do.
Did he misspeak himself then when he said that Americans aren't getting the truth?
No, you know, you can look back at the full transcript. He was referring, he was talking about the importance of making sure the American people have the full story about the progress that we are making in Iraq. That's what he was talking about.
He didn't say the full story. He said truth. And I'm just wondering if the president believes that any of the coverage he has seen out of Iraq does not represent the truth.
Again, I just answered your question.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, I fault the, with one or two exceptions, Russell Mukhiber, Helen Thomas, occasionally, David, what's his name, from NBC. There are a few reporters in the crack White House press corps that I exempt from a sweeping generalization like I'm about to make. The sweeping generalization is this. This lackluster, whorish Capitol press corps that has done everything in its power for the past 3 years to hide the truth, destroy the truth, cover up for this incompetent administration. Now all of a sudden they're no longer no longer in on the joke. Now they are being cast once again as the enemy, as the filter, as denying the American people the truth. What does this do to a crack White House reporter? Well, it irritates him. It irritates her. It pisses them off. It makes them unhappy campers when they go to the White House press corps dinner. So they're starting to get just a tad testy. It won't last too long, though, because Karl Rove will pass the word down through Simple Scotty that the reporters who, with the exception of Helen Thomas and Russell Mukhiber, because Carl likes to have them around for comic relief and somebody that he can play off of. But the other reporters will be given the word, sit down, shut up, do what you did the first 3 years, and don't ask questions. You know, I'm so old, I can remember back in the early 70s when we had a press corps in this country that refused to roll over and let a piece of human waste like Karl Rove scratch its belly. People like Woodward and Bernstein. People who exposed the lies and deceptions and murderous, murderous activities of the Nixon administration. And now, 30 years later, we have a press corps that is absolutely worse than useless.
Sky. It's good news week. Someone's found a way to give the Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling sprite, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
you know, it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
I glance at the headlines just to kind of get a flavor for what's moving. Rarely read the stories. Best way to get the news is from objective sources. And most objective sources I have are people on my staff who tell me what's happening in the world.
Have we ever had a president this ignorant? And this unwilling to exercise even the curiosity of a 10-year-old? No, we have not. Now, one of the questions Simple Scotty McClellan was asked today was about suicides in our expeditionary force. You see, the Army, alarmed by the number of suicides that have occurred in Iraq, our people, has sent a team of doctors to determine whether the stress of combat and long deployments is contributing to these suicides. Now, I don't know about the suicide rate in other conflicts that the United States has been involved in. But a lieutenant colonel, who is a psychiatrist at the Army's Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences in Bethesda, Maryland, said, quote, "The number of suicides has caused the Army to be concerned," end quote. "In the past 7 months, at least 11 soldiers and 3 Marines have committed suicide in Iraq. The Navy also is investigating one possible suicide, and about a dozen other Army deaths are under investigation and could be suicides." If you add that up, that's 24 actual or potential suicides in the past 7 months. Now, that's an annual rate of about 24 per 100,000 population, which is 3 times the normal expected, if there is such a word as normal in this context, expected number of suicides in 100,000 people not in the military. Now, you can make an argument that a combat zone is not a place to go for mental health, and I completely agree with that argument. But we have had men in this war and the last one, and women in battle many times. But the suicide rate and the self-inflicted wounds rate has got the attention of Army psychiatrists. The rate for the same age group in the general population is 10 to 13 per 100,000. In our military in Iraq, it is double that. Now, this team was sent by the Army Surgeon General's office. It consists of psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, and the manager of the Army's suicide prevention program. So far, this team has surveyed 700 soldiers and held discussions in which GIs were encouraged to talk freely. Now, here's the important part of this. Most of the suicides have occurred since May 1st, after the Bushmaster danced around on the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln and declared combat operations ended. Major combat operations ended. The majority of the suicides among our troops has occurred since that date. Now, experts are saying that the harsh and the dangerous living conditions and the long deployment adds to the depression from being someplace where you are forced to kill or be killed anyway. And then, of course, the accessibility of weapons in a war zone, according to Lieutenant Colonel Ritchie, can quickly turn a passing thought into action. She says it takes just a second to pull out your weapon, put it to your head, and pull the trigger. Now, Scotty McClellan had something to say about this, and I'll share it with you when we come back.
Don't do that. It takes a lifetime to learn what's been lost. Why are we all fighting? Huh? Why do we keep on lighting these fires, these bombs? We don't know what's gone wrong. Forgetting from. And all of this violence is killing me. Silence is failing me.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
It's been said that the early bird gets the worm. The late one might choose the nut. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. People are able to recall vividly what they've done in the past as well as plan for the future. This ability to visualize experiences and imagine outcomes is called episodic memory. Scientists had long believed that episodic memory was found only in humans. Nicola Clayton is a neurobiologist at the University of Cambridge. She says animals were thought to be stuck in the present time, unable to recall the past or plan ahead.
So whereas you and I can travel mentally back in time and think about a past event, what you did last birthday or even what you had for dinner last night, and equally we can go forwards in time and imagine what we're going to do tonight, this weekend, for our next holiday or whatever, then animals can't do that. They're bound to the present.
Clayton has found evidence that some birds are not so time-bound. She devised an experiment involving scrub jays. These small birds hide their food in order to recover it later, a process called caching. They apparently remember details about the food they hide. Clayton observed that the jays, when given nuts and worms to cache, would recover only the non-perishable nuts after being separated from the food for long periods. They didn't bother to look for the worms.
It seems to be the exact opposite of being stuck in time, because the animals have got to go back and remember where they put their caches, and equally at the time that they're hiding this food, they've got to think about the future.
In other words, Clayton says the experiment shows that scrub jays possess episodic memory. It also seems to prove that while the early bird gets the worm, the late one opts for food with a longer shelf life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
If we're going to put our troops in harm's way, they must have the very best.
Helpless, helpless, helpless.
Apparently, too stupid to be anything. That now includes an effective soldier suicide hotline. 24 suspected and actual suicides of our people in Iraq, the majority of which have occurred or has occurred since Bush danced around the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln and declared major combat operations to be ended. 24, and keep in mind, these are the numbers we get from the Defense Department. 12 under investigation, 12 confirmed, actually 14 confirmed, and 12 under investigation, which raises it up to 26. Potential suicides. Now, again, I don't have figures in front of me, so maybe this is a low figure. Maybe when people are in combat situations, the suicide rate goes up 2 and 3 times what that cohort suicide rate would be were they not in the U.S. military in a combat zone. But this has alarmed the military to the extent that they have sent a team of psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, and the manager of the Army's Suicide Prevention Program to Iraq. Now, in addition to the suicides and the self-inflicted wounds, the Army has sent 478 soldiers home from Iraq for mental health issues. Now, again, you see that statistic and you think, well, what does that mean? How is it possible in the first place to maintain what we would define as mental health back here in the world? How do you maintain mental health when you are in a situation, a country, where the people hate your guts? It doesn't make any difference what lies Mitch McConnell or Dick Cheney or the rest of these monsters are saying. The soldiers on the ground there know that they are hated and that the chances of them being blown into a million pieces by a rocket-propelled grenade are fairly substantial. How do you maintain mental health when the people that you have invaded hate you? When you can't get equipment, when 44,000 of your comrades are lacking body armor necessary to sustain someone taking a shot at you and live through it, how can you sustain your mental health when you are told, well, we know that you joined the reserves of the National Guard to help with national emergencies back home, maybe pick up a few extra bucks and get some training, and to feel like you served your country, but guess what, stupid? You're going to be here for another year. Your family, your bills back home, your kids, your wife, your parents, your husband, screw them. They are second. George W. Bush's oil buddies are first. And if you die, you die. Stand proud, soldier. You're dying for corporate America. Is there a more noble cause? Now, just a hint. Department of Defense officials, who always lie, always lie. But they say that in previous wars, many of those cases, like the 478 soldiers sent home from Iraq for mental health issues, many of those cases would have been treated in the war zone. But guess what? You're way ahead of me, aren't you? The Army doesn't have enough money for mental health resources in Iraq to treat the cases there. Why? Because the Bush administration hands off trillions of dollars in tax refunds and tax cuts to the wealthy 3% in this country who will keep Bush in office no matter what. And if it means the U.S. military cannot afford resources in theater to take care of our soldiers who are going nuts, too bad. There's more where those came from. Jesus, I hate these people. Suicides, self-inflicted wounds, phony letters sent to hometown newspapers saying how wonderful it all is. Mitch McConnell and a whole list of vampires and ghouls parading in front of the press, telling the American public, oh, everything's fine. The American press, the media, is painting a bad picture. And the media, in the meantime, sits back on its ass and takes it. Yeah, well, I guess it's us. We'll try harder, Carl. We're sorry. We're sorry. We don't mean to be the filter. The media gave this administration much more than a free ride. The media beat the war drums like there was no tomorrow. Jesus, do you remember the 6 month lead up to this assault on another sovereign nation run by a dictating freak? Yes. But a sovereign nation nonetheless. Do you remember CNN and those despicable bastards at Fox and MSNBC and all of them? Do you remember the run-up to the war? They couldn't wait. Give us war! Give us death! Give us destruction! Weapons of mass destruction? Oh, sure! Nuclear bombs? Hey, they're pointed at downtown Detroit. Lies. Every bit of it, a lie. And our media? The American media sat back on its hind legs during all that and just sucked up whatever this Bush crime family put out there for it to suck up. Disgusting, contemptible, vile, I swear I don't understand how anyone with a press credentials in Washington D.C. can look in the mirror and not just puke all over the bathroom sink, with a couple of notable exceptions. They let us down, and now they're getting their asses smacked because they haven't let us down enough. You see, the Bush crime family wants total obedience from the press, just like Pravda, just like TASS used to give to Brezhnev and Kosygin and Yeltsin and the rest of the Soviet rulers. Do you remember? Some of you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But that's what it's come to. The United States Congress is nothing more than the Soviet Politburo. Rubber stamp whatever this vicious crime family says to rubber stamp. And the press corps, don't you dare step out of line. Don't you dare tell the American public the truth. And if you even come close to it, we will gut you. Just for fun, on the unusual number of suicides among U.S. soldiers in Iraq, a reporter asked Scotty McClellan today, Scott, in the past 7 months, 11 soldiers and 3 Marines have committed suicide in Iraq. About a dozen more Army deaths are being investigated as suicides. According to a front page USA Today article yesterday, these numbers suggest a rate in Iraq of suicide way above normal. Does the president have any thoughts about why this is happening?
I haven't seen the specific reports, but you're talking about who?
U.S. Army and Marine suicides in Iraq.
Yeah, I think you need to direct those questions to the Pentagon.
I think you need to direct those questions to the Pentagon. I haven't seen any specific reports. You're talking about who? Who's committing suicide? And, of course, it was Russell Mokyber who asked the question. I haven't seen the specific reports, but you were talking about who? U.S. Army and Marine suicides in Iraq, you half-witted jackass. Oh, well, I think you need to direct those questions to Pentagon. Yeah, go ask Donald Rumsfeld. Yeah, he'll give you an answer, won't he? I'm really upset tonight. I really am, because, you know, from the perch on which I sit, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a little easier to see what's been going on the past week, 10 days, almost 2 weeks. This spinning that's going on from a parade of Bush Row foot soldiers. These right-wing, unconscionable, soulless bastards who infest the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives. These Republicans who have been making the rounds, parroting what this crime family insists that it says, just like good little Soviet Politburo members. And the big guns have been kept in hiding. This is what these people do. This is why our nation is being destroyed. It's being rotted from the top down. And I've watched this the past 10 days, 2 weeks, and it just drives me crazy. And maybe it's because, like I've said before, in a different time, different place, I was in the news gathering business. I know what you have to do. When you're a reporter, when you're working on a story, when you're supposed to be ferreting out the truth. And I look at this filthy media in this country, and it breaks my heart. I want to cry. I just want to sit here and sob. And then to make it even worse, to degrade our system even further, the end result is, from this horrific propaganda blitz, is that the American public is starting to jack up once again the approval numbers for George W. Bush, which was the goal to begin with. I don't know. Every once in a while on this program, and I know a lot of you feel the same way, because I think a lot of you tune this program out sometimes because you just go, Jesus Christ, I can't take any more of this. You know, you go watch TV or go out and have fun. Right? You go have fun. And I don't blame you. That's exactly how I feel tonight. If there were any way possible, 15 minutes from now, when we come to the end of the first hour of this program, if there was any way possible, I would ask Detroit to put on a tape program, and my ass would walk out of here. So I could just go home tonight, or go for a walk, or go watch TV, and forget about this. Because in doing the research for the program tonight, this afternoon, looking at these numbers, hearing about the suicides, recapping the spin that the Bush crime family has been putting out there, the absence of any leadership, the constant lies from this monkey in the White House, it's just enough to, you know, for somebody who's a borderline like I am anyway, it's just enough to make me say, okay, you know, screw it for Tuesday, for this Tuesday night, I'm going home. Now, that's wishful thinking on my part. I'm sure the Home Office would not fire me if I got on the blower to Detroit and said, hey, I've got stomach cramps. Put something on. I'm going home. But I won't do it because, I don't know. I believe if you have a job, for God's sake, work your job. Okay? I understand that. When I worked as a telemarketer, I did that. Go to work. Get your paycheck. Pay your taxes. Be a good citizen. And now that I work for IE America Radio Network and do this talk show, you know, the attitude is still the same. Hell, I know where that comes from. It comes from having my paper route when I was 9 years old. And one cold, nasty winter morning in Toledo, I didn't want to deliver the papers. So I went to the nearest drain pipe, you know, street drain, and I threw all 76 of my customers' newspapers into the city of Toledo sewer system and went home. And my mother said, well, Mike, what are you doing home? You've only been gone 15 minutes. I said, oh, well, I hurried up, Mom. And then the phone calls started coming from my customers. Mrs. Malloy, we didn't get our paper this morning to Mike's show. Well, needless to say, my mother taught me in that moment, do your job. Some of you can guess how she taught me. But enough about me. Bob is calling from Louisville, Kentucky. Bob, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling?
Yeah, it is, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Patrick Tanner from Western Kentucky told me to give you a call. Said some good progressive ideas being kicked around.
Well, I'm glad Patrick turned you on to the program. You listen online, I take it.
Right now, I'm sitting here watching the Cubs game, doing my American duty.
Well,
sorry to say.
No, don't apologize. Cubs have got to win the series, and they got to win the World Series too. They have to.
I'm working a little bit, volunteering real heavily for the Kucinich campaign as well, doing some a little bit of freelance journalism. I've worked in the grassroots organizing for about 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, around Kentucky, some Southern Indiana, and. I was just at a canvassing conference in Land Between the Lakes a couple of weeks ago and spoke for Dennis Kucinich and immediate repeal of the Patriot Act.
Right, right.
And I heard tonight's show is a little bit about the war in Iraq and the boys coming home and stuff. And it's like, you know, it's going to be a bad situation. These kids, you know, knew going in there signing up that they're signing up to fight, number one.
Right.
And they know this war. You know, firsthand, I mean, they know it firsthand. They're seeing it over there. It's a bad situation. We can't get out without losing face, losing numbers now, and these kids coming back from that are not going to be the same.
No, they're not. But yeah. but in leaving now, what we do accomplish is we stop the death and destruction, and we if we were to leave, we pull the rug out from under the lies that have been perpetrated by the Bush crime family. But,
That's one of the most horrendous things to have this thing sold to us on a weapons of mass destruction, which is not there. And then, you know, hell, they knew the Bush administration knew that the aircraft, you know, high likelihood of being hijacked, and he still sat in front of school kids.
I know, I know. It's an awful situation. Bob, thanks for checking in, pal. I hope you call again, and go Cubbies.
Don't ever ask you.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Doolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Doolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
About 4 and a half before the hour. And by the way, U.S. News and World Report, in their Washington Whispers section, says the following. Just as former Ambassador Joseph Wilson's story that the Bush administration blew his CIA wife's cover to get back at his criticism of the war in Iraq was getting old, he has stumbled onto new ammo to hit the administration's credibility. Ambassador Wilson tells us he plans to circulate the text of a briefing by analyst Sam Gardner that suggests the White House and Pentagon made up or distorted over 50 war stories. You know some of them, like the private Jessica Lynch story. But there's more, says Gardner, a war gamer who has taught at the National War College, like how defense officials said the first Iraqi unit Marines encountered, the 51st Mechanized Infantry Division, had surrendered 4 days before it actually did. And he says Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and Joint Chiefs Chairman General Richard Myers gave bad or deliberately incomplete info on several topics. Sure, propaganda has always been used in war to deceive and demoralize the enemy. But these guys went way overboard, Gardner says. He insists, quote, never before have so many stories been created to sell a war. End quote. Lying to get us into the war, lying about the circumstances of the war, lying about the death and destruction, lying about everything. Is that impeachable, or does somebody in this filthy administration have to lie about sex with their girlfriend? That was an impeachable offense. But this apparently is not. It's okay to lie to the American public. You see, it's ass backwards. Did we lie to the Germans in World War II? Yup. How about the Japanese? Uh-huh. Did we lie to the North Vietnamese, the Cambodians, and Laotians as we decimated their countries? Yupper, Mr. Mike. In other words, we were lying to the enemy. But these lies are directed at us, the American public. Is there anything this administration won't, any depth that they won't slime into? And I ask you again, how much more of this are we going to accept? Your phone calls when we come back.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You why, hate
why don't
me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
Two leading Shiite factions clashed overnight in the Iraqi city of Qabala. Ironically, on the same day that George W. Bush said he is in charge of operations in the destabilized nation, where many incidents followed spiraling violence around the country. Washington seeks to secure support to rebuild Iraq through a third revised draft UN resolution. But the world's Islamic nations meeting in Malaysia will call on the Security Council to set a clear timetable for a U.S. troop withdrawal from Iraq. Two car bombs since Thursday claimed the lives of 16 Iraqis. Mostly security personnel, and three more U.S. soldiers were killed in a span of 24 hours. Bush insisted he was in charge in Iraq and denied that the occupation, tying down some 130,000 U.S. soldiers, had overstretched the American military. Former Ambassador Joseph Wilson has stumbled on new ammo to hit the administration's credibility. Wilson tells us he plans to circulate the text of a briefing by analyst Sam Gardner that suggests the White House and Pentagon made up or distorted over 50 war stories. Gardner, who has taught at the National War College, writes that defense officials said the first Iraqi unit Marines encountered, the 51st Mechanized Infantry Division, had surrendered 4 days before it actually did. And he says Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and Joint Chiefs Chairman General Richard Myers gave bad or deliberately incomplete info on several topics. Never before have so many stories been created to sell a war, he insists, and they probably didn't need it. Nearly one quarter of the troops in Iraq still do not have a new type of ceramic body armor strong enough to stop bullets fired from assault rifles. Delays in funding, production, and shipping mean it will be December before all troops in Iraq will have the vests, which were introduced 4 years ago, according to military officials. Some troops are riding home to their families to secure needed items in the field, such as night vision goggles, socks, and even water, as military contractors attempt to keep their costs low. The two latest suicide bombings in Baghdad and nearly every other attack on American soldiers in Iraq were carried out with explosives taken from Saddam Hussein's former weapons dumps. The U.S. military now says that Iraq's army had nearly 1 million tons of weapons and ammunition, considerably higher than the 650,000 tons that senior American commander General John P. Abizayad estimated only 2 weeks ago. More news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 Save the Music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
German police apprehended a vicious crow by getting it drunk on bait laced with alcohol, authorities said Monday. The bird eluded captors after attacking a woman and a young girl until cat food, soaked in high-alcohol fruit schnapps, proved too tempting to resist.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Even in the rarefied world of outsized CEO greed, Richard Scrushy stands out.
until he was charged with cooking the company books in a massive fraud to deceive both investors and taxpayers in order to enrich himself, Scrushy was the high-flying honcho of Health South, the nation's largest chain of rehab hospitals. King Richard lived large. 4 mansions, several airplanes, more than 40 cars, including a $239,000 Lamborghini, a 92-foot yacht, and ever so much more. With his ill-gotten gain, he even became a, quote, philanthropist. Then came his comeuppance. Not only does he stand charged, but 14 of his top executives have already pled guilty to fraud. The company stock took a nosedive, and Richard himself got the boot as CEO. Some might take this as a lesson in humility. But Richard doesn't know humility from humidity. He continues to wallow in the high life afforded by the millions he took from us taxpayers and Health South investors. Only recently, he paid $3 million to buy a yachting marina. He bought a new jet airplane, and he also sponsored a powerboat race, joining the racers himself as skipper of his $450,000 skater boat dubbed Monopoly. Scrushy, of course, accepts no personal responsibility for his legal problems, claiming that his underlings conducted all of the thievery themselves without mentioning any of it to him. One of his top subordinates, however, testified under oath that virtually every month Richard personally directed him to inflate the numbers so the fraud could continue. Now, this bloated ego is even telling congressional investigators that he won't be available to appear before them, saying that they should watch his TV interviews if they want answers to their questions. This is Jim Hightower saying, Scrushy is the poster boy of arrogant CEOs who think they're the top dogs, and the rest of us are just a bunch of fire hydrants.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. I guess I scared everybody away with crazy diatribes in that first hour. Just watching MSNBC, the unindicted killer, Joe Scarborough, interviewing the one of the most massive hypocrites in the so-called Christian faith, and that's that Reverend James Dobson. And they're talking about the sadness of it all, about poor Rush Limbaugh. Oh, Scarborough asks this phony Christian, Dobson, well, do you think, Reverend Dobson or Dr. Dobson, that Rush did a good thing, took a moral stand there. He owned up, and of course Dobson answers, well, I was listening that day, and the hypocrisy of this Limbaugh crowd neatly parallels the lies and distortions of the Bush crowd. It's all one and the same. But all of these hypocrites who find out, because they read the same media that I read, listen to the same stuff I listen to and you listen to, they find out that Limbaugh has been stuffing these opiates into his mouth like a pig in heat for the past 5 years. And because he gets found out by a law enforcement agency in Florida, then he, quote, comes forward with the truth, end quote. And all of a sudden, he's to be commended for that? Son of a bitch ought to go to jail. Let him get his drug treatment in a Florida jail. Florida jails, the Florida prison system, has been forced to cut back two-thirds or is it three-fourths? I got the story here of drug treatment for people who go to prison on drug-related charges. And something like half or 70% of them, these are nonviolent charges. It's doing basically the same thing the pig man has done. But to see these Christian fascists and these unindicted killers like Joe Scarborough on MSNBC referred to the pig man's coming forward Friday a week ago as some sort of an honorable step, or was it just last Friday? Hell, I don't even know. As some honorable step in claiming his addiction and wanting to do something about it just makes me want to gag. He did nothing of the sort. His attorney, Roy Black, who also defended one of the Kennedy nephews on a rape charge down in Florida. His attorney, his criminal defense attorney, Roy Black, said, Rush, guess what? It's time to head for the hospital, buddy. These people are bearing down on your ass. You may go to prison. Jump into the hospital, Rush, quick. Ditto heads are that's just another word for lemmings. But some Christian fascists like James Dobson, switch over to MSNBC right now and check it out. It's just disgusting. If you have eaten within the past hour, you might want to wait and catch it on the rebroadcast. 800-TALK, yes, is the number. Clint's calling from Dearborn, Michigan. Hey, Clint.
Hi, Mike. How you doing? I think I know already.
No, I'm doing fine. Just when I read stories about the lies that are costing our the soldiers' lives and suicides and the distortions and the corruption, yeah, it just gets to me, Clint. You know, just like it gets to you. Just like it gets to most thinking Americans.
Yeah. Well, I was calling to say I agree with you about this media because they are really truly disgusting to think that, you know, one of my majors in college was journalism. I'm glad I didn't go into it right now because I couldn't sit there and lie to all the people.
I know.
But anyways, you know, I was sitting there and WJR, which is, you know, what kind of a station they've turned into here in Detroit.
Yeah, it used to be a good station, but now it's just another clear channel mouthpiece for propaganda and lies. Yeah.
And I heard one of the hosts on there saying, oh, how he thought Rush was so wonderful, and he'll come out of this great and all this thing. You know, and I wasn't even listening to it. It was another member in the household that just happened to flip by it, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
And then I heard today, you know, the Kofi Annan thing, how he was so angry about, or he was very disappointed in this new push the U.S. was trying to do in the U.N., and I didn't even hear anything about it on our local news. I just happened to flip by CBC again,
mm-hmm.
and that's how I got my news. You know, it's just so amazing the truth that we aren't getting in the news. You know, it's disgusting.
Yeah, for those of you that live near the Canadian border, we have listeners in Buffalo, and of course they're in Detroit area, upstate New York, all the way up into New England, who have access to the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. You have a decided advantage over most Americans because you are not receiving propaganda, you're receiving news reports. And there was a time, I'm so old, Clint, that I can remember when in this country, such a thing occurred, but certainly no longer.
Yeah, I remember that too, Mike. And you know, it's you know, really amazing. Before I let you go, I just wanted to say thank you to WSDS because at least I can listen to you on my way home from work every night.
Well, I appreciate it. That's the station Ypsilanti that carries this program now. That's good. We're very appreciative that station decided to take a chance and put this program on the air because there are very few stations with the courage to air this program or to air Tom Hartman's program, believe it or not, even though Hartman and I are pretty much on the same page. He's a much more rational, he has a more rational approach to these issues. But to get to find radio stations like WSDS and Ypsilanti to carry this program is getting more and more difficult as the spin machine and the Bush crime family and the media cranks up even harder. So, yeah, we're very appreciative to stations like KTRC in Santa Fe and WSDS in Ypsilanti, stations like that. We're very grateful. Thanks, Clint. I appreciate you checking in.
Yeah, you take care.
All right, sir. You too. Nick is calling from New Jersey. Nick, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hey.
Hey, something you touched on a little while ago about, you know, remember you said you were thinking about just going home and want to kick back and watch TV?
Right. And no, I just got so just furiously pissed off.
I can relate. This happens to me on a almost daily basis, and I envy you because you have an outlet for this stuff where you can get it off your chest.
Well, I don't know, man. You know, we're on the air 3 hours. We do maybe 4 hours of research. That's 7 hours at full bore pissed offness. And it's not, you know, I mean, I don't mean to say that I stay angry all that time, but this bit tonight or this afternoon, the story is about our soldiers committing suicide, and then to find out that lie upon lie upon lie and distortion, and then to find out that the letters written home, you know, we reported on this story the other night, the letters written home were not written by GIs at all. They're written by some half-ass lieutenant colonel.
Right, 11 at last count.
Yeah, it's just... you know, and that kind of stuff all sort of dovetails, and it just becomes momentarily overwhelming. That's all.
Trust me, I know. Trust me, I'm out of work, so I have a lot of time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Researching and things, and I mean, sometimes I an obvious conclusion comes to me about you know, the whole myriad, the, you know, this whole thing, a lot of the subjects you touch on, an obvious conclusion comes to me, and then I never hear it anyplace. I never hear any. I turn into your show, but I honestly can only listen like once every couple of weeks because you're touching the same nerves that I touch all day, and you're really putting them out there. And I said, man, I can't listen to it.
I know, I understand.
But I do. I try to come touch with you every once in a while, and I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk and get some of this stuff out. Like, okay, here's one thing that came to me, right, about Iraq. I mean, I'm retired military, and I worked in some fairly high clearance places, and if Iraq was any kind of a threat to any other state except another Arab state, the mighty, and I use that term very literally, the mighty Israeli military would have gone into action a long time ago.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I mean, and this is such an, that's a no-brainer. That's such an obvious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, never mentioned once anyplace that people would say, I mean, the average Joe has no idea what a military they have.
And now they're I read a story the other day.
Nuke subs.
Yeah, that was immediately denied that they're going to outfit their subs with nuclear weapons and the capacity to launch those.
Got three methods.
Yeah.
Aircraft, missile,
submarines.
Do you think they're going to let? And you think they're honestly going to let Iran become a nuclear power? Come on, give me a break. What did they do back in 81, 82? They took out Iraq. Iraq was even getting close to developing nuclear weapons.
Right.
Boom.
Right.
F-16s on a bombing run. Okay, but this kind of stuff, it makes me nuts. I got a zillion things, like Rush Limbaugh. You tell, oh, my God, Rush Limbaugh. I mean, I am so pissed off about our media and what they're doing right now. I mean, I wrote a thing. It's about 250 words. I know I can't read it there, but I had to write this down because it was making me nuts, and the title of this little 250-word ditty, Junkie Polarizes Nation, Media Asleep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who gives a rat's ass, this poor, unfortunate soul that has a drug problem? Look what he's doing to this country.
Yeah, and what he's been doing for the ever since about 1992, 93, Rush Limbaugh has done more damage to the United States of America than any foreign invader has ever done.
Oh, yes.
Rush Limbaugh has done more to destroy the social contract that all of us should strive toward keeping intact. Rush Limbaugh has done more to further the rapacious nature of corporatism. He's done more to divide people in this country, to belittle people in this country, than anyone ever in the history of broadcast. He is a class A son of a bitch. And you know how he's rewarded? He was put into the Radio Broadcast Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and he got that thing. Was it back in 94? Congress awarded him an honor.
Well, member of the 103rd or whatever Congress.
104th Congress, yeah.
Yeah, because he had organized and assisted his filthy ditto heads into bringing all those Republican members of Congress in.
Did you see the
office.
News hour on Monday night?
I did not.
The news hour. I forget. Terrence Smith doing a little piece on conservative talk radio. They had Tony Blankley on, the wonderful editor of the Washington Times. He was on there. And he's saying, yes, the Republican Party owes, you know, they're taking the Congress.
Sure.
back then to him, and he was flat out. He's like, yeah, no doubt about it. The, his what's he got? 20 million. I heard estimates anywhere from 14 to 20 million listeners.
Yeah,
3 to 1. His listeners vote GOP.
Sure.
I mean, this guy's humming along, buzzing on time release Oxycontin, which is, I mean, some very, very potent stuff. He's buzzing along, but he delivers, man.
Yeah, he does. He delivers to the power.
Exactly.
Nick, thanks for checking in. I wish you'd listen more than once every couple of weeks, but I understand if you don't.
Well, I'll try, but then you might get more calls like this.
All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling.
All right, thanks for your
time. All right, take care.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Even in the rarefied world of outsized CEO greed, Richard Scrushy stands out. Until he was charged with cooking the company books in a massive fraud to deceive both investors and taxpayers in order to enrich himself, Scrushy was the high-flying honcho of Health South, the nation's largest chain of rehab hospitals. King Richard lived large. 4 mansions, several airplanes, more than 40 cars, including a $239,000 Lamborghini, a 92-foot yacht, and ever so much more. With his ill-gotten gain, he even became a, quote, philanthropist. Then came his comeuppance. Not only does he stand charged, but 14 of his top executives have already pled guilty to fraud. The company's stock took a nosedive, and Richard himself got the boot as CEO. Some might take this as a lesson in humility, but Richard doesn't know humility from humidity. He continues to wallow in the high life afforded by the millions he took from us taxpayers and HealthSouth investors. Only recently, he paid $3 million to buy a yachting marina. He bought a new jet airplane, and he also sponsored a powerboat race, joining the racers himself as skipper of his $450,000 skater boat dubbed Monopoly. Scrushy, of course, accepts no personal responsibility for his legal problems, claiming that his underlings conducted all of the thievery themselves without mentioning any of it to him. One of his top subordinates, however, testified under oath that virtually every month Richard personally directed him to inflate the numbers so the fraud could continue. Now, this bloated ego is even telling congressional investigators that he won't be available to appear before them, saying that they should watch his TV interviews if they want answers to their questions. This is Jim Hightower saying, Scrushy is the poster boy of arrogant CEOs who think they're the top dogs, and the rest of us are just a bunch of fire hydrants.
Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. You know, every once in a while, one of these Republican vampires will say something that is off script and comes right out of their that hole in their chest where a normal human being has a heart, or that hole in their spirituality where a normal person has what we, for lack of a better term, call a soul. The latest to do that is Representative George Nethercutt, Republican member of Congress from the state of Washington. He's going to be challenging Patty Murray, the Democrat who is one of the senators, for her seat in 2004. Now, he was one of the pigs that was sent out by the Rove White House to do his part for the Bush Good News from Iraq PR campaign that we were talking about earlier. And Wayne in Seattle sent this to me. Nethercutt says, subsequent to what he said here, that his choice of words was unfortunate. But what he said was, and it reveals how these Republican pigs really feel about members of the U.S. military. He said, quote, In referring to the good news from Iraq, he said, that's a better and more important story than losing a couple of soldiers every day, end quote. That's a better and more important story than losing a couple of soldiers every day. This rat bastard, it's stuff like that, I don't have a descriptive term for a human being, an American, who can make that kind of a statement about American young men and reservists and National Guardsmen and women who have been sent to Iraq, for Christ's sake, to die for Bush's oil thugs. And then you have somebody like this Representative George Nethercutt, in a momentary lapse of discipline imposed upon him by Karl Rove and the Bush White House, in that momentary lapse, he says that this good news propaganda lying crap that's coming out of Iraq, quote, is a better and more important story than losing a couple of soldiers every day, end quote. A couple of soldiers. Wouldn't you like to take George Nethercutt and turn him over to the families of a couple of these soldiers who are now dead? And let those families explain to George Nethercutt that no, that's actually not true, George. The story of my son or my daughter taking an RPG in the gut is more important by far, George, than the lying propaganda coming out of Iraq. Trust me, George, my dead son was living a life before Republicans like you got your filthy claws in him that was much more important than whether or not Ahmad Shalabi and the U.S. military has got the oil pumping again. Now, according to Wayne, and I'll post the link like I do every night, everything we talk about on this program, plus some, you'll have the link. You can read it yourself. But Wayne in Seattle writes, apparently enough people saw through his comment to the point where, according to our local news, he's now in, quote, hot water, end quote. And he, this pig Nethercutt, has begun ramping up the usual and expected, well, I was taken out of context, counteroffensive. How do you take out of context this sentence? It is a better and more important story than losing a couple of soldiers every day. Piss on them. We don't care. Oh, by the way, Nethercutt is a member of the House Appropriations Committee that approved the Bush crime family's $87 billion demand for money for Iraq.
Pissed us off, so we voted for Republicans, a form of suicide. Republicans suck, 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 suck,
thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
It's been said that the early bird gets the worm. The late one might choose the nut. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. People are able to recall vividly what they've done in the past as well as plan for the future. This ability to visualize experiences and imagine outcomes is called episodic memory. Scientists had long believed that episodic memory was found only in humans. Nicola Clayton is a neurobiologist at the University of Cambridge. She says animals were thought to be stuck in the present time, unable to recall the past or plan ahead.
So whereas you and I can travel mentally back in time and think about a past event, what you did last birthday or even what you had for dinner last night, and equally we can go forwards in time and imagine what we're going to do tonight, this weekend, for our next holiday or whatever, then animals can't do that. They're bound to the present.
Clayton has found evidence that some birds are not so time-bound. She devised an experiment involving scrub jays. These small birds hide their food in order to recover it later, a process called caching. They apparently remember details about the food they hide. Clayton observed that the jays, when given nuts and worms to cache, would recover only the non-perishable nuts after being separated from the food for long periods. They didn't bother to look for the worms.
It seems to be the exact opposite of being stuck in time, because the animals have got to go back and remember where they put their caches, and equally at the time that they're hiding this food, they've got to think about the future.
In other words, Clayton says the experiment shows that scrub jays possess episodic memory. It also seems to prove that while the early bird gets the worm, the late one opts for food with a longer shelf life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Got the flying monkey ride blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Yeah, that's it. The flying monkey right blues. I guess that's what's happening tonight. We're at 800 Talk Yes, 800-825-5937. Hope to hear from you. Tom is calling from Marietta, Georgia. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Yeah, a long time no hear.
Yeah, well, where you been?
Well, I travel a lot.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, when I'm on the road, thank God for high-speed internet and hotel rooms. But
hey, listen, you got to get a serious satellite radio connection, and we're in business.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I listen to you at home on the internet, too, but what I really like to do is turn on you in the morning, the replays on White Rose Society.
White Rose Society, yeah. That's
get the juices flowing.
Right, that'll screw up your entire day.
Well, not at all. But, yeah, sometimes I feel, you know, when I listen at night, I want to call in, but I feel like one of those boxers where the other boxer has to kind of hold him up before delivering the final blow.
Yeah, right.
Waltz him around the ring a little bit.
Hey, I know that feeling.
Yeah. Well, one of the things, I really like the points that the caller made about if Iraq was such a threat, Israel would have taken out any specific threat. I think that's a very good point, and hasn't been mentioned too much.
Yeah, Israel has a policy of preemptive strikes. I mean, Jesus, look at the 67 war.
Yeah, well,
if that wasn't a preemptive strike, what was? And Israel is not going to live in a neighborhood where anybody seriously threatens them. Now, that's not to say that the basing of Palestinian groups that commit these acts of the suicide bombings don't exist in Lebanon and Syria. Obviously, they do, and obviously the Israelis have ways of trying to deal with that. It'll never be dealt with. There will always be death and destruction on both sides until the Israelis and the Palestinians work out some sort of an agreement. But as far as state-sponsored nuclear weapons, or if Israel felt for a moment that one of the armies in the Middle East, be it Egypt, even Egypt that they have a treaty with, Syria, Iran, or Iraq, any country that Israel would feel threatened, that country would have been attacked and annihilated. The only reason, as you know, and I know, and most people listen to this radio program know, the only reason that the Bush crime family went to Iraq was because the world is running out of oil, and they wanted Iraq's resources.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's one thing about the right-wingers, they seem to create their own traps that they fall into. That's the sort of funny thing or comical thing about them. I mean, you have Rush Limbaugh saying, you know, on his, they're quoting here in Newsweek, "Too many whites are getting away with drug use.
Right.
Find the ones who are getting away with it and send them up the river."
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That Newsweek article, by the way, is awesome.
Yes, it is.
If you read the whole thing. I was going to comment on that. What a miserable, lonely, useless human being Rush Limbaugh really is.
Yeah, a creature of real pathos, if you look at it another way.
I mean. And I'm not to that point yet, but the Newsweek article was astonishing in revealing what a truly empty life the pig man actually lives or lived. And it makes me think to myself, here's a guy who makes $32 million a year and can only get his kicks from doing drugs. That's pathetic. It is true pathos. You're absolutely right. There's nothing in that article except true pathos. But he is the ideal leader and spokesperson for these pathetic ditto heads.
Yeah, we scratch the surface and you see what you get.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're just willing over here to scratch the surface. I mean, we can see these people coming a mile away. It's just, give us credit for that. But the last thing is this Patriot Act, talking about setting traps, why not use the Patriot Act to investigate the leak in the White House on the CIA thing?
now, Tom.
Well,
the Patriot Act is to be used against people like you and me, not against real criminals like the ones that exist or cluster and swarm in the White House. The Patriot Act is for guys like you and me.
Yeah, but you know, there was a guy in the White House that had a rickety old Arkansas land deal that was.
Oh yeah, but that was Bill Clinton.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. You know, that's they. I think somebody ought to suggest that they put that act to some good use and find out who those leakers are, because I think that a few email scans and wiretaps, and this, they'll find out who leaked.
Well, you know, if it weren't for the fact that the Bush administration is nothing more than what am I trying to say? I keep wanting to say a mafia crime family, but that insults a mafia. But if they were anything more than a collection of thugs, villains, vampires, and ghouls, all it would take. I mean, can you imagine George Bush sitting there saying, well, I don't know if they'll ever be found. All this useless human being has to do is call his staff in. I don't care if there's 200 or 2,000 and ask each one of them point blank, look them in the eye and say, I want to know the truth. Did you call the media? That's all it would take. But because this was engineered by Karl Rove and Louis Libby and Dick Cheney, and they let Bush in on it after it was a fait accompli, he can't do that because he knows that. And is that impeachable? I guess not. You have to have partial sex in the Oval Office with your girlfriend in a consenting situation. That's impeachable. Lying and sending people to their deaths is not impeachable. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a place we live, huh?
Yeah, really. Hey, one quick last question. You were mentioning yesterday that you had seen the movie Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
What did you think of that?
I liked it. I don't think it's an Academy Award performance. Kathy seems to think that, what's his name?
Bill Murray?
Yeah, Bill Murray, that this is an astonishing performance from him. But this is like Jack Nicholson in, what was it? About Schmidt.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know why he got nominated for Academy Award. He kind of walked through the role. and I think Murray did the same thing. But I did like the movie. I thought Murray's movie was, I liked it.
I've spent a lot of time in Japan, and for me, this was, I don't have to go there anymore. I just got to go to a big screen and watch this movie.
Really?
It is the closest thing to being there. It is the best portrayal of Japan I've ever seen.
We've never been, but you're not the only person who said that it's very much the way the Japanese culture is.
Yeah. Well, I just want to leave you on a lighter note.
Well, thanks. All right, Tom. I appreciate checking
Mike.
It. All right, you too. Speaking of that Newsweek article, sad, sick. I don't know. This Limbaugh is a guy who really needs to retire. I mean, aside from the fact that I, you know, he disgusts me. Let me quote just a little bit here. The writer of the article is referring to Limbaugh's greatest hits of hypocrisy and his sneers at celebrity dopers like Daryl Strawberry and Kurt Cobain. Virtually every newspaper, once the story broke, dredged up his 1995 quote from Limbaugh, which Tom just said, and the quote, abbreviated, "Too many whites are getting away with drug use. The answer is to find the ones who are getting away with it, convict them, and send them up the river," end quote. Now, if Rush were honest and truthful and forthright, then he would turn himself in to the attorney in Palm Beach County and say, "Take me to prison. I'm white. I'm wealthy. I've been committing felony after felony after felony. Take me to prison." But Rush is a lying bastard. Always has been, always will be. So this doesn't apply to him. The penalty for illegally buying large quantities of prescription painkillers in Florida can be 5 years in jail. Now, what constitutes separate incidences of buying large quantities of prescription painkillers illegally in Florida? 100? 1,000? 10,000, 15,000. In any of those instances, Rush Limbaugh is guilty of multiple felonies. I mean, you can't avoid it, okay? I don't care if you think the sun rises and sets in the area of Rush Limbaugh's cyst. It is still a felony. Over and over and over. And contrary to some published reports, Newsweek says prosecutors do go after users as well as pushers, especially if they want to make an example of a celebrity. Let's see. Martha Stewart? Rush Limbaugh. Now, the writer says nothing entertains like hypocrisy on a grand scale. Oh, how true is that? Huh? Ever since Elmer Gantry? When Bill Bennett This is from the Newsweek article. When Bill Bennett, best-selling author of The Book of Virtues, was outed as a compulsive gambler, and evangelist Jim Baker was caught embezzling from his Praise the Lord empire, the lamentations of the true believers were drowned out by the snickers of the knowing. That's you and me. But Limbaugh's story owes more to the Wizard of Oz than the Scarlet Letter. The man behind the curtain is not the God of family values, but a childless, twice divorced, thrice married schlub whose idea of a good time is to lie on his couch and watch football endlessly. And I might add, and pop drugs. When Rush Limbaugh declared to his radio audience that he was, quote, your epitome of morality of virtue, a man you could totally trust with your wife, your daughter, even your son in a Motel 6 overnight, he was acting. According to Wall Street Journal editorial writer John Fund, who is a serial woman batterer, John Fund beats up the mothers that he's having sex with, then beats up the daughters of those women that he has sex with. That's John Fund. And he's quoted in the Newsweek article. John Fund says, Rush regards himself as an entertainer who is very pleased that people pay attention to his political views. John Fund collaborated with Limbaugh on the book The Way Things Ought to Be. John Fund is a vicious, woman-beating thug. The article in Newsweek goes on, granted, Limbaugh's act has won over or fooled a lot of people. With his heartland pieties and scorn for feminazis and commie sympathizers like Martin Sheen. He is the darling of red state flyover America. Former President George Herbert Herbert Bush was always eager to cover his, who was always eager to cover his right flank, personally carried Limbaugh's bags into the White House when Limbaugh stayed at the Lincoln bedroom in 1992. Oh, you didn't know he stayed in the Lincoln bedroom in 1992? This lying pig who spent how many hours on radio talking about Clinton and his Lincoln bedroom guests? After the Republicans won control of the House in 1994, for only the second time in 50 years, lawmakers called to personally thank Limbaugh and made him an honorary member of Congress. The article is lengthy, and I'll post a link to it tonight when the program's over. But as you read about Limbaugh, as much as you hate him, and as much, maybe you don't hate him. I hate him. He disgusts me. Like I said, I can't say it enough. He's done more to destroy this country than anyone I can think of. He's a domestic Hitler. He's a domestic Stalin. He's just a vicious, vicious, hate-filled man. Having said that, when you read the Newsweek article, This kind of wet, stifling, cloudy, can't-breathe sort of angst settles over you as you read the article. And you realize that here's a guy who presents himself, as Newsweek says, as the epitome of heartland values. Here's a guy who makes $32 million a year. Here's a guy that could do any of the fun things on the entire planet that most of us just think about or read about in the New York Times or a travel magazine or a website, you know, when we fantasize about renting a villa in Tuscany for a week or two in the summer. You know, Limbaugh can do it all. He can buy anything. He can go anywhere. He can have anything. What does he do? He makes his maid. He makes his housekeeper repeatedly deal with drug criminals. And he himself, Limbaugh, sucks up these drugs by the fistful, lays around, watches television, watches football games. And what about his wife? You ever hear about Marta, his wife? The woman he met in an online chat room, his third marriage. He says he's gone to detox twice, which I tend to doubt, but let's assume it's true. And let's assume both times he went for 30 days. And let's also assume the truth of his lie that poor old Martin knows nothing about this. Is there a wife on the planet who married to any man, much less a multi-millionaire like Rush Limbaugh? Is there a wife on the in this society anyway who would say, oh, you're going to be gone for 30 days and you can't tell me where you're going or why? Okay, honey, have a good time. Oh, please. What do you want to bet that Marta is as addicted as Rush? You think that's a possibility? Well, frankly, I think it's more of a possibility. I think it's a probability. When you have somebody who lives as isolated a life as these two do, and the only kicks are television and OxyContin, what do you suppose Mrs. Limbaugh is going to do in order to stay even with her husband? But the article is so sad in a very degenerate way, the same way that you know, it would be sad to see a bombed out a village or a car crash, or to find out that the spot you just drove by on the highway with the two white crosses on the side of the road were in memory of two teenagers that were killed in a car wreck. You know, that kind of sadness.
Not for you. It's a wonderful life. No stress, no strife. Never hurry, never worry like the poor folks do. And oh, it must be fun to be so wealthy, filthy, rich and young. Well, I wonder what great things they've done to become the fortunate ones.
Irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylan's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylan's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylan's.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, band leader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network. Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, band leader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
You bang, same old bug, sting like glue, the better one.
4 and a half before the hour, 800-TALK-YES is the number. Ben, our Elgin, Illinois Bureau Chief and the webmaster at whiterosesociety.org is checking in. Hey.
Hey there, Mike. You know, it occurs to me that there's one other thing that fits the facts here about why we never hear about Russia's wife.
Marta?
Marta.
Mm-hmm.
What if Marta is what they call in Hollywood a beard?
Somebody to give the appearance that Rush is married and has a wife and who actually is not that at all.
Exactly right. I mean, There's a lot of circumstantial evidence that Rush might not be exactly walking on the same side of the street as most people think he is. I mean, for example, look at those ties.
Yeah.
I mean, what straight man would wear ties like that, much less design them?
So you're suggesting, I'll bring up the term, you're suggesting that Marta might be a fag hag.
Exactly right.
You know, who knows? If Limbaugh is gay, I would think that given his power and position, that he would understand that he could do more for the idea of tolerance in this country than 30. Jerry Falwell's, 1,000 Pat Robertson's, by just coming out and saying, look, folks, there's one other thing I wanted to tell you. I have been living a lie as far as my sexual orientation is concerned. I'm actually homosexual. That would do more, I think. I may be wrong here, but all of a sudden, his 20 million ditto heads would be slapped in the face with the reality that, hey, guess what? Gay folk can be right-wing freaks, too. Gay folk are just as normal as anybody else. What do you think? Do you have any evidence that Rush might be homosexual?
Well, okay. The only evidence is purely circumstantial. First, there is a rumor that when he was working in Pittsburgh many years ago in 1973, under the name Jeff Christie, that he was arrested for lewd conduct with another man on a gay stroll near the University of Pittsburgh campus.
Oh, my God.
Now, that's just a rumor. It's been spread around on the Internet.
Can you hold on?
Certainly.
All right, we'll come back and talk about these rumors about Russia's sexual orientation in just a moment. Quick break here. Wouldn't it be wonderful, though, if it turned out that Rush was gay and admitted to his followers, look, folks, it's no big deal. Wouldn't that be something?
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy. On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. Former Ambassador Joseph Wilson has stumbled on new ammo to hit the administration's credibility. Wilson tells us he plans to circulate the text of a briefing by analyst Sam Gardner that suggests the White House and Pentagon made up or distorted over 50 war stories. Gardner, who has taught at the National War College, writes that defense officials said the 1st Iraqi unit Marines encountered, the 51st Mechanized Infantry Division, had surrendered 4 days before it actually did. And he says Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and Joint Chiefs Chairman General Richard Myers gave bad or deliberately incomplete info on several topics. Never before have so many stories been created to sell a war, he insists, and they probably didn't need it. Two leading Shiite factions clashed overnight in the Iraqi city of Kabbala. Ironically, on the same day that George W. Bush said he is in charge of operations in the destabilized nation, where many incidents followed spiraling violence around the country. Washington seeks to secure support to rebuild Iraq through a third revised draft UN resolution. But the world's Islamic nations meeting in Malaysia will call on the Security Council to set a clear timetable for a U.S. troop withdrawal from Iraq. Two car bombs since Thursday claimed the lives of 16 Iraqis, mostly security personnel, and three more U.S. soldiers were killed in a span of 24 hours. Bush insisted he was in charge in Iraq and denied that the occupation, tying down some 130,000 U.S. soldiers, had overstretched the American military. Boston's Logan Airport will become the first in the country to participate in a test program to electronically screen cargo before it is loaded on commercial flights. In the 30-day program to begin Tuesday, a screening machine will scan truckloads of cargo at the airport for explosives. The Transportation Security Administration has focused on passenger and baggage screening, but only a small percentage of cargo is checked before being shipped in cargo or passenger planes. The two latest suicide bombings in Baghdad and nearly every other attack on American soldiers in Iraq were carried out with explosives taken from Saddam Hussein's former weapons dumps, which are much larger than previously estimated and remain, for the most part, unguarded by American troops. The U.S. military now says that Iraq's army had nearly 1 million tons of weapons and ammunition, considerably higher than the 650,000 tons that senior American commander General John P. Abizayad estimated only 2 weeks ago.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 Save the Music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
A plane on an unscheduled joyride was apparently shot down when it flew over a Serbian wedding party where guests were firing guns into the air. Two men were injured when their aircraft crashed near Kraljevo in central Serbia. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Even in the rarefied world of outsized CEO greed, Richard Scrushy stands out. Until he was charged with cooking the company books in a massive fraud to deceive both investors and taxpayers in order to enrich himself, Scrushy was the high-flying honcho of Health South, the nation's largest chain of rehab hospitals. King Richard lived large. Four mansions, several airplanes, more than 40 cars, including a $239,000 Lamborghini, a 92-foot yacht, and ever so much more. With his ill-gotten gain, he even became a, quote, philanthropist. Then came his comeuppance. Not only does he stand charged, but 14 of his top executives have already pled guilty to fraud. The company stock took a nosedive, and Richard himself got the boot as CEO. Some might take this as a lesson in humility, but Richard doesn't know humility from humidity. He continues to wallow in the high life afforded by the millions he took from us taxpayers and Health South investors. Only recently, he paid $3 million to buy a yachting marina. He bought a new jet airplane, and he also sponsored a powerboat race, joining the racers himself as skipper of his $450,000 skater boat dubbed Monopoly. Scrushy, of course, accepts no personal responsibility for his legal problems, claiming that his underlings conducted all of the thievery themselves without mentioning any of it to him. One of his top subordinates, however, testified under oath that virtually every month Richard personally directed him to inflate the numbers so the fraud could continue. Now, this bloated ego is even telling congressional investigators that he won't be available to appear before them, saying that they should watch his TV interviews if they want answers to their questions. This is Jim Hightower saying, Scrushy is the poster boy of arrogant CEOs who think they're the top dogs, and the rest of us are just a bunch of fire hydrants.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. All right, we're talking with Ben, our Elgin, Illinois bureau chief, and also the designer and webmaster at WhiteRoseSociety.org, where you can hear this program and Tom Hartman's program and Peter Werby's program, and I understand Randy Rhodes' program now also, all archived. For your convenience, by Ben, who does this on a voluntary basis and occasionally needs a few bucks to pay for the bandwidth. So help out if you're so inclined. What we're talking about here is Limbaugh's wife's role in all of this. I think most people understand the history of their getting together, what history is available. They met in an internet chat room. They married shortly thereafter.
no children. So far the story is that the story that's put out, the official story, is that Marta Limbaugh had no earthly idea of her husband's drug usage, which is astonishing if it's true. Secondly, had no idea when he made allegedly 2 30-day jaunts to detox, if it were 30 days or 10 days or whatever the hell it was. Uncurious, unquestioning, and that's the story anyway, and Marta is totally ignorant of all this. What Ben is suggesting, and I've seen the story out on the Internet, that perhaps Limbaugh might be either gay or bisexual and terrified in this society of coming out and stating in his honesty that his sexual orientation is what it is. Now, why should anyone have to state their sexual orientation? Well, the answer is pretty obvious. We live in a society that still delights in torturing, literally torturing and killing and discriminating against gay people in a physical sense, in an emotional sense, and equally as bad in a legal sense. Gay people in this country, as you know, are legislated against by the flying monkey right. No such thing as whatever you want to call them, marriages, gay unions. They are without legal standing, and it's just a shocking crime that in most civilized countries, all right, let's not say civilized, in most westernized countries, the idea of same-sex unions is not only acceptable, but has become just a matter of a very common matter. If some of the stories that are floating around the Internet that have been floating for a long time are true about Limbaugh's sexual orientation, think of the good that this man could do in coming out. And I think that's about where we left it, Ben.
Yeah, I'd like to think that he could do good, but you know, I think that we have a pattern here of self-deception and self-denial that, you know, includes the drug use, includes this pattern as well if it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did a little verification. I did verify that Rush Limbaugh was in fact the radio personality known as Jeff Christie, and he worked for KQV in Pittsburgh. And that he was fired suddenly and without warning. I've had verification from several people who were going to that university at the time that they heard the rumor that the DJ, Jeff Christie, was in fact caught with the local jock on the gay stroll, which was called Winthrop Street. And other than the fact that we have people who independently heard the rumor at the time, and several who heard the rumor and caught in water cooler conversation at other radio stations close to that time,
mm-hmm.
we don't have any actual proof that this arrest occurred.
Mm-hmm.
We do, however, know that he left radio for a period of time shortly thereafter, and that the man who, I can't think of the gentleman's name right now, who got him his second start in radio, taught him how to dress, was a very out gay man. And, you know, that's not really significant in itself, but it is rather odd for a guy to go clothes shopping with another guy.
Well, whenever sexual orientation, whenever the topic comes up, especially for a celebrity, I get faced with this, and perhaps you do too. A person's sexual orientation truly is nobody else's business. Now, that would be true if we lived in a just and accepting society.
Agreed.
Because we live in a society that is brutal against people who happen to be homosexual, I think it's almost incumbent on and this was a discussion that was very prevalent in the gay community about 10 years ago when I was writing for a gay publication here in Atlanta. The discussion was, it is incumbent, it is necessary, it is required that people who happen to be homosexual, who have positions of importance in sports, in media, in government, in entertainment, declare their homosexuality to show the rest of America that there's nothing to fear from gay people. So, and I remember that discussion. That discussion is not held too much anymore among gay folk. There's more of a bunker mentality now, and rightly so. When you look at all these efforts to Christ, now they're talking about a constitutional amendment that, in effect, would declare gay people less than human. So, in that context, to discuss a celebrity's alleged or purported homosexuality, I think, becomes pertinent because those people can do so much good. By the same token, they can do so much damage.
And in fact, that's what Rush Limbaugh has used his golden EIB microphone
right.
to do over the years. He never misses an opportunity to give Barney Frank problems.
Oh, my God,
He never misses an opportunity to talk about gay days in Orlando. He never misses an opportunity to talk about the homosexual agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're, in fact, Rush, you know, just a neutral sort of talk show host like a Wally Phillips or something. Who'd care?
Right.
Who'd want to know?
Right.
Well, the point is he's not neutral on this issue, just in the same way that he has bashed people who use drugs and who become addicted to painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
He has bashed people who are homosexual. And if, in fact, that is his secret. I think that someday the world will find out, and I think that the world ought to find out if he is as big a hypocrite as I think he probably is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sadly, I don't disagree with what you're saying. In the context of this repressed, freaked-out society, this society here in the good old United States of America, where someone can be... up until a recent Supreme Court ruling, someone could be jailed just for participating in consensual sex with a same-sex partner. When you live in a society like that, if you have someone of such prominence as Rush Limbaugh, I go back to that argument that was being debated in the gay community 10 years ago. It's almost required that these people, these prominent, well-placed, highly identifiable, wildly successful people declare their homosexuality, if that's the case. And again, in order simply to kind of underline the statement, we're here, we're queer, get used to it. So,
exactly right.
So I'll be curious to see how that story plays out. Ben, thanks for checking in. I appreciate hearing from you, pal.
Take care.
All right, you too. It is an issue. It is an issue. And, I haven't brought it up, but now that it has been brought up, there you go. 800-TALK, yes, is the number. Andrew is calling from Owensboro, Kentucky. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going, Mark?
It's going. How are you, how you doing?
Fine. I saw something that greatly disturbed me, and I had to tell you about it.
Uh-oh.
I was watching Now with Bill Moyers. Last week,
mm-hmm.
and Bush is wanting to put something through called the Faith-Based Initiative.
Right.
Have you heard of it?
Oh, yeah. We've talked about it several times on the program. Yeah.
Okay, well, then you know about it.
Now, it's a mini-headed hydra. It's got all sorts of tentacles that go here and go there and go everywhere.
They would be able to discriminate against who they hired.
Sure.
The churches, you know. And to me, it just seems like that if that bastard out there had his way, you know, it'd be another Inquisition. You know, and that makes it really hard on me because I'm agnostic.
Well, in Bush's America, you are not wanted.
Right.
You know, no. as a matter of fact, you are expendable in Bush's America.
Right.
And the only thing
comes to that, I'll leave.
The only thing they might find that you would be good in their using of human beings would be to teach you how to kill and send you to Iraq.
Probably.
other than that, you know.
Or it's some kind of grunt labor.
There you go.
But it's all this crap, and he's getting away with it all on the strength of 9/11.
The Bush crime family has used the tragedy of September 11th for everything. And for that reason alone, there's a special place in his Christian hell waiting for him.
Right. You know, well, the way I see it, If he doesn't get reelected, the UN will try him because he's more or less told the UN and everybody's seen it on CNN, hey, you can't do nothing to us.
Well, I don't disagree with the spirit of what you're saying, but the UN has absolutely no power to put anyone on trial. That's not what they're about. There is in The Hague, in the Netherlands, there is a war crimes commission that can indict people, but as far as bringing them to trial, unless they are somehow brought, like Milosevic was, to stand trial, there's not too much you can do. But the UN's function is not to try people.
Well, it was one of those organizations, but some, you know, they had wanted to try him for invading Iraq without problem.
Yeah, he was there was a suggestion, I think in Belgium, I'm trying to remember, somebody will email it to me, a criminal or an international court in Belgium indicted Ariel Sharon, indicted for his war crimes, indicted George Bush for his war crimes, indicted Donald Rumsfeld for his. And the indictments were tossed out by the Belgium government or whatever authority in Belgium has the power to cancel these indictments. But
yeah.
That's what you're referring to, I think. Yeah.
And on top of everything else, I'm a socialist. And that doesn't help either, you know. I'm an agnostic and I'm a socialist.
Well, I would think most socialists... Well, no, there are a lot of Catholic socialists who see Christ as a socialist. So, you know, you can still be a Christian and be a socialist.
Yeah,
that's
very
possible.
As I said, I'm agnostic and a socialist. So, you know, and Bush's wannabe society, I would be nothing, you know.
Well, I just make sure you help organize against him, and we'll toss him out of office. Andrew, thanks for checking in, pal. There's the music. I appreciate you calling. Yeah, you can be Jewish and be a socialist, too. You can be all kinds of things and still be a socialist.
Religious tolerance. They hate Christians and Jews.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Tom Hartman Show.
Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troops' lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they have stated in a policy?
This is what they said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dogs?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
I would never use God to promote foreign policy decisions.
Well, you're a liar, George. I mean, for God's sake, you told the... You told the Israeli official, or as reported in Haaretz, that God told you to attack Afghanistan, and you did. And then God told you to attack Iraq, and you did. You're a liar, George. Every time you open your mouth, you are a liar. Sharon is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Sharon.
Hi. I'm a therapist, and I called you about a year ago or so to give you a diagnosis for George W.
Well, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
It was for narcissistic personality disorder.
Right.
Well, I have another piece of clinical information for you.
Oh, good.
This is more applicable, I believe, to Rush.
Okay.
There was a University of Michigan study that they did about 20 years ago, where they hooked 1,000 male student volunteers up to, what's affectionately known as the Peter meter.
Right.
Which measures arousal.
Right.
And then they, before they hooked them up, they gave them all questionnaires on various attitudes towards lots of different things to sort of, you know, get everything in the mix. And then they showed them various kinds of pornography and, you know, just sort of, you know, landscapes of Tuscany or something to see what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And the two most highly correlated results were homophobia on the questionnaire and arousal to gay male porn.
Right. I remember that study. The men who self-identified as being homophobes, one who said, yeah, I hate them queers,
right,
were the ones that were more easily and more quickly aroused by homosexual pornography.
Exactly.
Which means...
Yes. That is what that means.
Well, no. You're the therapist. That means...
That you hate what you're afraid of in yourself.
Or, I would expand that, given the nature of this culture, this society, those feelings are so deeply repressed that you not only learn to hate them, but you also learn to suppress them, obviously. But you try your damnedest to project that phony hatred onto people who are out and open. And the result is you have people in this country who are butchered, literally murdered. Mm-hmm. Matthew Shepard is a good example, simply because they are who they are.
Yeah.
I have always wondered really deeply, especially after having so many friends who happen to be gay, after writing for a gay publication, after yada, yada, yada. I've always been very suspicious of apparent heterosexual men who are so virulently homophobic.
Oh, absolutely.
There just doesn't seem to be a rational basis for that anti-gay, literally, hatred, unless it is, as you say, or as the study proved, that they're trying to deny something that exists inside of them.
Right. And what's interesting is because Homosexuality is you know, we believe now to be something genetic, and that is definitely appears to be, you know, carried in family genes, that mm-hmm. it's very frequent that you'll have, you know, several gay kids in one family. I mean, I know several families where that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is that, of course, a father who has some kind of, you know, really repressed leanings towards the homosexual side of the continuum going on, who, of course, has a gay son,
mm-hmm.
Which would be, you know, a genetic likelihood or, you know, certainly not unlikely, is really going to express those homophobic tendencies even more.
That's true. And what is ironic, I just got an email from Walter, and he says, today the U.S. Senate passed a bill that bars health insurers and employers from discriminating against people based on their genetic makeup. Though it is meant to prevent discrimination against those who are predisposed to a genetic disease, if homosexuality is proven to be genetic, hello.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, that's interesting.
It is indeed. Sharon, thanks for calling in. Don't let a year go by before you call in again.
I will try to call in more often.
Thank you so much.
Mike.
All right, take care. Quick break. We'll be right back. Guess what China did about 2.5 hours ago? Shelby LePre at radiopower.org just sent this to me. Stick around. I'll share it with you.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
It's been said that the early bird gets the worm. The late one might choose the nut. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. People are able to recall vividly what they've done in the past as well as plan for the future. This ability to visualize experiences and imagine outcomes is called episodic memory. Scientists had long believed that episodic memory was found only in humans. Nicola Clayton is a neurobiologist at the University of Cambridge. She says animals were thought to be stuck in the present time, unable to recall the past or plan ahead.
So whereas you and I can travel mentally back in time and think about a past event, what you did last birthday or even what you had for dinner last night, and equally we can go forwards in time and imagine what we're going to do tonight, this weekend, for our next holiday or whatever, then animals can't do that. They're bound to the present.
Clayton has found evidence that some birds are not so time-bound. She devised an experiment involving scrub jays. These small birds hide their food in order to recover it later, a process called caching. They apparently remember details about the food they hide. Clayton observed that the jays, when given nuts and worms to cache, would recover only the non-perishable nuts after being separated from the food for long periods. They didn't bother to look for the worms.
It seems to be the exact opposite of being stuck in time, because the animals have got to go back and remember where they put their caches, and equally at the time that they're hiding this food, they've got to think about the future.
In other words, Clayton says the experiment shows that scrub jays possess episodic memory. It also seems to prove that while the early bird gets the worm, the late one opts for food with a longer shelf life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Tia Carrera is on the front and Playboy.
I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years
I'm talking about the tread on a tire. Well, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
Seven before the hour. Hey, we're in the home stretch. Back to your calls in just a second. Bear with me just a minute. The webmistress at radiopower.org, Shelby LePre, just sent this to me. It's from the Associated Press. China launched its first manned space... Okay, I know. All you people already know this. But here in talk radio isolation, this is a news flash to me. China launched its first manned space mission on Wednesday, their time, becoming the third country in history to send a person into orbit. With a column of smoke, the Shenzhou 5 craft cut across a bright azure northwest China sky at exactly 9 p.m. Tuesday, Eastern Daylight Time. That would be, about two and a half hours ago. Went into orbit 10 minutes later. The official China news agency immediately confirmed the launch and said the astronaut was Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Yang Li Wei, who's 38. China's Central Television Channel 1, the government's main station, cut into its programming to announce the launch. The station later showed Shenzhou streaking into the sky and disappearing, its tracer billowing behind it. Minutes after the launch, a China Central TV announcer said that Shenzhou 5 and Mr. Yang, Colonel Yang, had entered orbit at 9:10. And that Colonel Yang was reading a flight manual in the capsule of the spacecraft and looked composed and at ease. He's reading a flight manual? Isn't that a bad time to start reading your flight manual? Oh, well, it's, you know, the Chinese, and this is the translation from one language to another. Colonel Yang radioed back from space after a half hour in flight, according to the news agency. I feel good. Okay. Well, it goes on here. It was the culmination of a decade of efforts by China's military-linked manned space program. Well, so is ours. So what? Military-linked. And a patriotism-drenched moment for a communist government more concerned than ever about its profile on the world stage. Yada, yada, yada. In Washington, Pentagon spokeswoman, see, they go to the Pentagon for a response. So ours is military linked too, right? Anyway, a Pentagon spokeswoman said, quote, we wish them success and for their astronauts' safe return. A little bit garbled English there, but what the hell? That's Pentagonese translated into English. Referring to China's earlier unmanned space launches, an announcer on the English-language government channel CCTV9 invoked American astronaut Neil Armstrong's words upon first walking on the moon. The announcer said, quote, if these were small steps, then now we are taking a giant leap into space, which again makes absolutely no sense, but it's all right because there's the translation problem. Security was tight around the remote Gobi Desert base. China kept details of the event secret, saying in advance only that the launch would take place between Wednesday and Friday and that the astronaut would orbit the Earth 14 times. What else is here? The Shenzhou, that's the name of the vehicle. It translates into divine vessel. You know, for a godless atheistic society, they certainly toss around references to the divinity, don't they? Anyway, it's based on the three-seat Russian Soyuz capsule, though with extensive modifications. China also paid Moscow to train at least two astronauts. A little bit more here. The colonel who is piloting this thing or riding this thing was quoted as saying before taking off, quote, I will not disappoint the motherland. I will complete each movement with total concentration, and I will gain honor for the People's Liberation Army and for the Chinese nation, end quote. I will complete each movement with total concentration? That's interesting. A Chinese website said Colonel Yang was selected Tuesday. Yesterday. I'm sorry. I know this is not funny, but it is. He was selected Tuesday from a pool of three finalists. Well, that explains why he's reading the flight manual. The astronauts have been training for years, and the field of candidates was narrowed from 14 in recent days down to three. Colonel Yang, who is 5'6" tall, was what else? The news agency quoted his older sister as saying he was an athletic child who enjoyed swimming and ice skating. What else? The Xinhua news agency quoted space officials assuring the public that the astronauts' spacesuits were safe. Sorry. And the booster that got this thing into orbit was the Long March CZ-2F. Long March, of course, you know what that's in reference to. And it was described as China's, quote, best rocket, end quote. The decision to cancel a live broadcast of the liftoff suggested leaders might be unnerved by the thought of the propaganda disaster that an accident could produce. Well, why would it be a disaster? The United States and the Soviet Union, the only other two countries who have developed programs to launch people. I realize other nationalities have gone into space, but we're the only ones with the Russians who have done this. We've had terrible, terrible, horrific accidents. Dozens of messages left on Chinese websites had taunted officials for their decision to not broadcast it live and demanded that the government show its people the historic launch as it happened. Such websites are monitored by censors who enforce official rules on content and sometimes erase postings. Sounds like our website, doesn't it? which suggested the negative postings were genuine. The last comment here, the Gansu Daily, a newspaper, apparently welcomed the launch. It said, quote, "Finally, the time has come to realize the 1,000-year dream of flying dreamed by the sons and daughters of China." So there you have it. I guess you can interpret that as good news or bad news. Now, interestingly, our rocket scientist is checking in, who's also our bureau chief in Aurora, Illinois. Physicist Marianne, what about this launch? Did you know this way in advance, I'll bet, right?
Oh, yeah, I know about it. And, you know, fine. Yeah, military. Well, you know, Jean-Luc Picard was military. So was Captain Kirk.
That's very true.
Like, at least China is going to get us anywhere near the Federation of Planets and Starfleet because we sure as hell ain't doing it here.
Ooh, Marianne.
I mean, nothing's happening here.
Marianne, you sound a little testy tonight.
Oh, Michael, there's no joy in Mudville here, man.
No.
I just watched the Cubs lose.
Oh, no.
Was
that it? Was that the last game?
No.
Okay, it's 3-3.
They're going to take it. I mean, they were ahead 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So the series now is tied 3-3, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're just going to make us. You know, they're just going to sweat every ounce of blood from us. You know, watching them.
They'll get it. National League champs.
It's ordained because like they can't lose. If they lose, it's like then evil has really taken over the world. I mean, they can't lose.
Right.
Except one of evil's minions was out there in the fans. I mean, it was the eighth inning or the seventh or eighth inning. And what should have been a fairly routine out, a fan interfered with one of the Chicago outfielders.
Not again.
And then they just lost it. Oh, and then the shortstop kind of fobbled, which should have been an easy double play. And then we went from 3-0 to 8-3.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it was ugly.
Sounds,
and I watched every second of it.
Sounds terrible. All right, that explains your testiness.
Oh, but anyway, no, the other thing that explains my testiness is, like, you know, watching C-SPAN just turn right wing.
Really?
I mean, they used to be pretty, like, balanced, but these days, you know, I settled down to watch the Cubs win and, like, switch between that and a rock watch. By the way, every night and Tuesday night for the last several weeks, several intrepid Democratic congressmen get together and they just blast the Bush administration on what's happening in Iraq. And it usually is televised.
This is on C-SPAN.
This is on C-SPAN.
Right.
Well, tonight, well, all day long, it's just been, like, Republican propaganda. And What's uglier is now I'm listening to a rerun of this Senate hearing, Senate Subcommittee on Terrorism, and they're just bashing Islam. I mean, there's this, like, suggesting that all these mainstream Muslim groups are actually supporting terrorism.
Sure.
And I'm looking at Chuck Schumer and Dianne Feinstein even up there doing this.
Well,
I mean, Feinstein trying to be balanced, but, you know, like, using language like people in prison are exposed to Islam like, you know, some disease. It's really distressing, Mike. I mean,
well, Schumer and Feinstein both are heavily backed by AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. Let's be honest about it.
Yes.
I'm not surprised that Feinstein and Schumer, neither or both, would have anything but negatives to say about Islam in a political context. Had the United States been bombed on September 11th by Baptists, I don't think you would see that kind of an attitude. At least it would be kept quiet.
Who really knows? They blamed it on Osama bin Laden, but,
right.
You know.
It probably was Baptist.
Good God.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a little distressing. It is very distressing, and I'll tell you what, this whole Israel issue is what really divides the Democrats. I mean, that's why they can't be coherent. I mean, some of them talk a good speech on the floor, but then they end up voting to support the Bush administration and PNAC.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, Israel, its actions, I think, all seem designed to, like, draw us into a region-wide conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe we won't be the ones invading Syria. Maybe it will be Israel. And then we have to basically stand up with them. This is what I'm fearing. I mean, because I think things are so bad. And, you know, I'm reading the websites. I know I'm talking to people who've been there. Israel is very bad state. And it's like, you know, I think the Likudniks and Sharon feel that the only thing they can do now is draw us deeper and deeper into what is essentially their conflict.
Well, I sometimes wonder who is manipulating whom. Traditionally the Israeli government manipulated the right wing in this country, and I include in the right wing not just Republicans where it concerns Israel. Or do we has our government Democrat and Republican ever since 1948 manipulated Israel? It's a question.
I think, you know, in this case, when there's been competent governments, we might have manipulated Israel. I think being the people that we have in now, I think they're really getting manipulated by Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just because they're focused on one thing. However, their goals and Sharon's goals seem to, like, coincide for now. You know, death and destruction, starting wars, well, that just suits the Bush administration dandy. You know,
yeah,
their buddies are getting the money.
To me, that's the reason Bush was a no-show when the so-called Second Intifada really got bloody and gory from both sides, suicide bombers on the one side, attacks by the IDF on the other, the butchery that both sides have committed against each other. And I don't need to get into the justification or lack thereof or the political reasons for these this mutual slaughter. It has been a mutual slaughter, and Bush stayed completely out of it. I think Bush is terrified of Ariel Sharon.
Well, maybe Ariel Sharon knows the real story behind 9/11.
That's could be.
You know, maybe, you know, he knows. But apart from that, I think it basically Bush can't do anything, and they have no motivation to do anything. They can just wring their hands and go, well, look, it's these terrorists, you know, and now we're in the same boat that Israel is in. Now we've got our own little Palestine, well, rather large one, brooding Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Likudniks are just happy with that, too, because now we're in the same boat there.
Right. Well, the analogy or the comparison is spot on, because what the U.S. military is doing to Iraqi civilians, and it may be justified in the context of they're in a war zone, is precisely what the IDF does to Palestinians, and that may be justified in their minds in the context of a war zone. But the similarities cannot be denied or ignored. We are treating the Iraqi people in the same way that the IDF treats the Palestinian people, and equally, the Iraqi people are responding the same way the Palestinians, groups that commit these acts of the suicide bombers, are responding to the Israelis. We are in this situation up to our necks. And sadly, had the Bush crime family, when it first came to office, had it built on the efforts that Bill Clinton had spent years, and before him, even George Herbert Walker, and before him, Jimmy Carter, had tried to bring about some sort of a settlement, I don't think we would be in Iraq, and I don't think they would be building a wall, for Christ's sake, across Israel. So
no.
it's sad.
Northern Ireland was resolved. You know, and despite many, many attempts to sabotage it, it's holding because the Clinton administration worked and worked and worked until it happened, and plus both sides were exhausted. And now we have an administration for whom none of this, diplomacy, the security of the country, is anywhere near the priority as loot. You know, loot for their friends, loot for the Carlyle Group. I mean, I know I'm sounding cynical, but, man, I think it really boils down to very simple principles here. You know, they are pirates, like that commentator says. Maybe I'll feel better tomorrow when the Cubs win.
Thanks for checking in, Marianne.
Okay.
All right, you have a nice evening. Take a deep breath. It'll be okay. That's a topic, if you listen to this program a lot, you notice it by its omission. The troubles in the Middle East, the mutual slaughter between the Israelis and the Palestinians, it's a difficult topic for me for a number of reasons. I have a lot of Palestinian-American friends. I have a lot of sympathizers for the State of Israel, most of whom are Jewish. I have some Israeli-American friends, if there is such a designation. I have participated as just a sit in the corner listening participant in discussions at people's homes here in Atlanta. There's a lot of Palestinians here in Atlanta, a lot of Jewish folks here in Atlanta, and there have been some real sincere efforts made on that level of people of from both sides, let's say, trying to understand, trying to work things out. Those discussions have become few and far between since the beginning of the Second Intifada, the terrible situation imposed on the Palestinian people, the terrible situation imposed by Palestinian suicide bombers. I brook no sympathy for any organization that uses terror bombings of innocent people. I don't care if it's Palestinians or the IDF.
You must give and I shall take. I will tell you what is moral and what's just. Because I want, because I will.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Mm. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
more tissues.
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a twinkle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
I understand that the unrest in the Middle East creates unrest throughout the region.
And you love it, don't you, war boy? Finally, this tonight. A couple of you have sent this to me. 60 Minutes 2 tomorrow. Wednesday at 8 p.m. If you're not going to be home, set your VCRs. Greg Thielman will be interviewed by Scott Pelley. And Greg Thielman is the person responsible for analyzing the Iraqi weapons threat for Colin Powell. Greg Thielman now says on the record that Powell misinformed Americans during his speech at the UN last winter. Misinformed means lied to. It says here, Greg Thielman tells correspondent Scott Pelley that at the time of Powell's speech, Iraq didn't pose an imminent threat to anyone, not even its own neighbors. Thielman says, quote, I think my conclusion about Powell's speech now is that it's probably one of the low points in his long service to the nation. Thielman also tells Scott Pelley of CBS News that he believes the decision to go to war was made first and then the intelligence was interpreted to fit that conclusion. Well, yeah. Steve Allison and a dozen other U.N. inspectors in Iraq also watched Powell's speech at the time. Allison says, quote, various people would laugh at various times during Powell's speech because the information he was presenting was just, you know, didn't mean anything, had no meaning, end quote. Pelley then asks, quote, when the secretary finished the speech, you and the other inspectors turned to each other and said what? Allison responds, quote, they have nothing, end quote. What does it take to impeach and remove from office an entire administration, administration that had no problem lying to take this country into war? What does it take? Program tonight was engineered in Detroit by Jay Balicki and produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. If you're on hold, we didn't get to your call. I apologize. We'll hopefully we'll hear from you tomorrow. Many thanks to Mark Marshall of MaximumInteractive.com, who is our webmaster and set up MikeMalloy.com. If you haven't been there, go check it out. It's a lot of fun. It doesn't cost you anything. It's one of the few things left on planet Earth that's free. Someday it will be as good a message board as Democratic Underground. Also, maybe 100 years from now. Also, thanks to our moderators, our militant mods who keep watch on that website. And as always, great thanks to Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really hope. Marianne, don't feel bad. The Cubs will win. Take care.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction.